Grace and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear friends in Christ, I have to confess that these special feast and festival days can be confusing at times. You see, back in August, when I was arranging with Dr. Grimm to preach here at the chapel, we agreed to this date, October the 28th. At that time, he informed me that it was the festival day of St. Simon and St. Jude. When he told me that the epistle reading was from 1 Peter, I just assumed that the St. Simon being referred to on this day was Simon Peter. Since I'm conducting a Bible study on the Apostle Peter at the congregation where I serve, I thought to myself, hey, this is good. I'll be able to take things from that study and apply it to my sermon here today. That, you know, is what you have to do sometimes when you're serving in a busy parish. You got to double up where and when you can. Of course, that works so long that you have your facts straight. But as you probably already know, and believe it or not, as I discovered just the other day when I started to work on this message, this is not the festival day for Simon Peter. Actually, he shares a festival day with the Apostle Paul on June the 29th. No, this is the festival day for Simon, who is called the Zealot, as well as the day for Jude, who also goes by the name Thaddeus. You know, when I discovered my mistake regarding the saints being recognized this day, it was interesting to note my reaction. First of all, I was disappointed. Disappointed because my hope, of course, was to talk to you about Simon Peter. My hope was that my agenda could be followed. That disappointment led to an annoying fear because, well, quite frankly, this turn of events, it really messed up my schedule. Now I suddenly realized I would have to go in a different direction with the message than what I had originally planned. And my fear was, am I going to have enough time to do that, and to do that well? And finally, to be honest with you, I'm a bit embarrassed. I mean, I do have some pride. I graduated from this fine institution 25 years ago, and they taught me well, and I wanted to put on my best here, and to stand here before you today and expose my ignorance is a bit humbling. Now, admittedly, this mistake certainly does not rank up there as being a huge one. I'll survive, and with a few adjustments, everything will work out just fine. But you know, that feeling of disappointment, as well as fear and frustration, and even that of embarrassment, are feelings, you know, that are common to us sinful human beings when life takes those unexpected twists and turns. Take St. Simon and St. Jude, for example. We certainly know from Scripture that Simon was a zealot, and possibly so was Jude, although I'll leave that debate for others to deal with. At any rate, zealots held an intense and sometimes violent view of nationalism. Their hope and dream was that Israel would be the dominant world power. And certainly this Jesus could be the means of getting them to that coveted status. It was Jude who, with political motives, asked Jesus, "But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not the world?" He was looking for a political savior. Imagine the disappointment, the fear and frustration, even the embarrassment people like those guys must have experienced when their view of Jesus as that of a political savior did not match with reality. You know, that's a common phenomenon that followers of Christ will encounter. That is where Jesus doesn't quite measure up to our expectations. I mean, here I am trying to do what I believe to be the right thing, the godly thing, and yet I don't get the results I think I should be getting. Recently, a member of my congregation wrote to me an email that illustrates here what I'm talking about, requesting that I keep him and his wife in my prayers as they delay the starting of a family because he is struggling to find a job. He included in his email to me these words. "Pastor," he wrote, "it has been hard for me to understand why the two of us are struggling when, unlike so many around us, we are keeping the faith. I understand that the rewards of faith are not necessarily in this world, but it is difficult not to be jealous of those I see around me who are succeeding despite not doing it the quote right way. I thought that I had been following the right path, but so far I haven't found success. I struggle with the fact that people of faith who try to follow God's teachings are faced with trials, while those who ignore him often find success. In addition to all of this, the fact that I am looking for a job is embarrassing, to say the least, particularly when people expect greatness from you once you have become a lawyer." Say, do you ever find yourself feeling that same way? Disappointed, fearful, frustrated, even embarrassed? If so, I have good news for you. You're not alone. And by that, I don't just mean that there are plenty of others who have experienced those feelings, so you're not alone in that way. But even more so, God knows what you are experiencing. And what he tells us in his word, in places like this epistle reading from 1 Peter, is that the struggle and suffering in some cases that comes with living out the faith is not abnormal. Furthermore, it's not a failure on your part, nor is it a failure on God's part. No, actually, if you think about it, this was the process by which our salvation came about. Christ suffered death, the writer to the book of Hebrews tells us. Christ suffered death so that by the grace of God, he might taste death for everyone. I suppose the logic flows like this. If Christ experienced struggles and suffering while carrying out the Father's will, his good and perfect will, and if through his struggles and suffering came about our perfect salvation, then friends, suffering must have some redeeming quality to it. And indeed it does. Not because suffering is good, no, but because God is good. And he can use the struggles and the suffering in our lives to accomplish some incredible things. Not the least of which is that of testing and strengthening our faith in him. On that note, Peter encourages his readers not to focus on being beat up on account of their faith, which was certainly happening to them, but because Christ has risen from the dead, because of the promises of baptism, because of a guaranteed inheritance in heaven, they could be upbeat, yes, upbeat with the joy and the confidence and the assurance that God was for them and not against them, as the cross so wonderfully demonstrates, and that His grace is sufficient and His power is made perfect in weakness. Upbeat, not beat up. Dear friends, that was the attitude that allowed men of faith like Saint Simon and Saint Jude to give up their agendas and boldly confess Christ to a dying world, even to the point of death. And that is the same attitude that allows us to do the same. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.